Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave, your host. We've got a great show lined up, so let's get started. Hello, this is Ashlyn Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 112. It's the week of November 19th. 2010, and thank you for joining for downloading the podcast. Welcome to the show. This is a podcast for regular runners, wannabe ultra runners, marathoners, anybody that is willing to download the show and put up with listening to me for about 30 minutes. That's the show's for you. I'm a ordinary nobody, middle of the pack runner. Never won anything in my life. But I do like to get out there and see how long and far I can run. It's something I've enjoyed doing for several years now. This is kind of an open topic episode. I've got several things I'm going to talk about that I've been making some notes over the last week. And so there's not really any one particular topic for this show. However, I am going to share a couple stories from the Richmond Marathon, which was this past weekend. My wife and I went down there and spectated and got around the course a little bit and saw some people that we were supporting, and there was some victory and some defeat, and I'll share a couple stories from Richmond here a little bit later on the show. I think in the last show I had briefly mentioned that I was interested in learning how to do race timing. It's something I've been interested in for a while, and for whatever reason I've just never really dove into it, but I am going to volunteer in an upcoming race, and that's going to be on November 20th. It's a 5K over in King William County, which is a county to the east of Hanover, and it's just a 5K. It's the Cool Spring Primary School 5K. It's raising money for, they're having some kind of health and fitness fair, and I'm going to help out my friend Stephanie Medlin, who is the race director. It's the inaugural race. They've never done it before. And it's kind of interesting that I think she's done a real good thing by trying to put this race together. She didn't get a whole lot of help at first when it came to the timing, but she did look for a couple of volunteers, and she's been a longtime member of the Richmond Roadrunners Club, and so she got some support there after talking to a couple different people. And in lieu of actually participating in the race, I've decided that I'm going to volunteer and help her out because she's a good friend. We actually kind of work together from time to time on some things that we have similar fields. So I'm going to head out there and do that for her, and we'll see how that works out. And I'm going to put a link to that in the show notes if anyone's interested in, if I can find it. I haven't. I don't even know if there's a website. I'll have to check. If there is, I'll put a link in the show notes at ashlanddave.podbean.com. Also, another big thing I wanted to talk about just briefly was that I found the my other North Face running sock. And I never really said anything in the show about losing one of the socks, but these are the socks that I got as part of the race swag at the 50 miler, the North Face Endurance Challenge 50 miler. Some really cool North Face just ankle socks, and I really like them because they're black and blue, the kind of cool colors. And the neat thing about that was that I wanted to use them in an upcoming race because they're very comfortable. And my friend Tom actually wore his the whole time in the 50 miler. Anyhow, I couldn't find one. I don't know what happened to it. I did several loads of laundry looking for it. And then one day, just the other day, I was doing some laundry, and I noticed that it had fallen between the washer and the dryer. And for whatever reason, I'd never checked that before. But that's where it was. So I'm very happy that I found the partner to my North Face sock. And now I've got both of them. And I know that you've just been holding your breath if you've been listening to the show, you know, about lost socks. Speaking of lost socks, it's funny that there's a, where I used to live in Richmond, I had an apartment when I first got out of college back in the early 90s, and there was actually a laundromat called the Lost Sock. It's kind of funny. Okay, another, let's see, I've been getting my mileage up to about 20 miles a week now, and actually went up to 21 this week. which has been feeling good, and my 5-milers have been feeling much better than they have just a few weeks ago. I can actually get through the 5 miles now with relatively little discomfort, if any. However, with the exception of when I ran the other day after work, and because of just I wanted to change up where I ran, so I decided to run over to a place called Courthouse Park, which is a county park just south of the Hanover County government courthouse area, which is it's, if you've ever heard of Patrick Henry, he's the one that said, "Give me liberty or give me death." He didn't say that speech there, but he argued his first case called the Parsons Cause at the same courthouse area where I go to work. Anyway, there's a park there called south of that called Courthouse Park, which has a half-mile loop track around numerous soccer fields and lacrosse fields and that kind of stuff. And I used to run on that when, believe it or not, we used to live not too far from that park, and so I used to run up there, and we had our daughter was a little, not really a baby at the time, still wasn't a stroller, I guess she was a little less than a toddler, and I used to push her around that loop in the baby jogger. And I remember sometimes the wind would be such that you would really be almost like you're pushing against the wind with that baby jogger, because it kind of serves as a little bit of a sail. Anyway, the reason I bring that up is because when we had two dogs, I could take the two dogs with me up there, and you know, there was rarely anybody there, and I could let the dogs off the leash, and I would just push Lucy around in the jog stroller, and I'll let the dogs get their exercise. And on one little section of the loop, it goes down next to a real nice pond that's clean and that they allow fishing in and whatnot. And so the dogs would run down and get in the water, and then as I ran away, they would then come up charging up the hill and catch up with me, so they got to get a little swimming in there as well. For whatever reason, the other day when I was had planned to do 5 miles, and so I thought, okay, that's 10 loops around this track. I did about two loops, and I felt unbelievably sluggish running on the surface. And it's kind of a crushed gravel, cinders, I guess you would call it. It's soft, but for whatever reason, I just felt very sluggish and didn't feel. I felt like I was giving out too much effort for every step. So what I did was I decided to cut out onto the road and finish up my run that way. And boy, after I got back on the road, I felt so much better. I felt like I could just kind of shuffle my feet along with minimal effort, as opposed to running around that track. And I just remember how dreadful it felt to think that I had to do 10 loops around this track. And it's funny how the other day I disliked it so much, but just a few short years ago, I used to do the majority of my running over there. It was kind of funny how that works out. Another thing, I subscribe to my first running magazine that I've ever subscribed to. I know a lot of people out there probably know about Runner's World, and that's a decent magazine. I usually get the hand-me-down issues from my dad. I've never subscribed to it myself, so I'll get the issues maybe 3 or 4 months after they come out. My dad will give me a stack of them, and I'll, you know, spend the next couple of weeks going through them, and I think that's a monthly. But the magazine I subscribe to, and I've just decided to do it for 1 year, and it's in every other month, it's called Marathon and Beyond. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes, too, if you're interested, or you can just search for that. The reason I subscribe to that is because it showcases marathons in the country and goes into great detail about them. And I was kind of interested in reading about that, about some races, more than what Marathon Guide does. Marathon Guide has an excellent reader comment, or people can comment on those marathons and give the feedback directly on that. And I think that's pretty valuable. However, sometimes you get the varied responses, because for everybody's first marathon, if they cross the finish line, is obviously great. But the course, but the organization of the marathon might not be so good. But Marathon and Beyond goes into great detail each issue on a marathon. Plus, some of the stories are pretty lengthy, and the magazine almost looks like a little miniature book. It's smaller than the regular size 8.5 by 11 or whatever magazine. It's kind of half that size, well over 100 pages or more. And some of the stories look like they go into a lot of detail. I got my first issue the other day. And there's an article about a woman who was running the Marine Corps Marathon and her son's serving over in Iraq, and what it means to her, and he's in the Marines and whatnot. So there's a whole lot of information in there, and if things strike my fancy, I'll probably talk about them from time to time in the podcast. But it looked like an interesting magazine to subscribe to, because not only does it talk about marathons, but it talks about some ultra marathons and things beyond the marathon distance, and that's what kind of attracted me to it. Signed up for a race here lately. It's called the Icy 8, and it's on February 5th, 2011 at Lake Anna State Park here in Virginia, which is, 40 minutes from where I live, so it's not too bad. It's an 8-hour endurance race put on by Athletic Equation, and I'll put a link to in the show notes to that at ashlanddave.podbean.com. I kind of did it a little bit on a whim. It's limited, I think, to 100 people, and my friend Tom Grant has run it before, although he did not run it when it was really in the icy conditions, because I think it got snowed out one year. But it's in February, and it's in the cold weather. That's why it's called the IC8. But it's an 8-hour endurance event, and you know, you run as much as you can in 8 hours, or as little as you want, whatever. And I thought the organizers had a really cool slogan for the race, and it's kind of catchy. And I'm gonna see if I can get it right. I haven't written it down. It's something like they provide an event to live up to your expectations, not to live up to their expectations, or something. It was kind of neat. It was like the whole point of putting on a race, but in the reverse. And because you know, with an 8-hour event, there's no finish line. It's just as much as you can run. And apparently, what the course is, it's two loops through the park, mostly fire road. And what you do is you can, I think, pick either one of the loops. So say, for example, if it's, you know, 7 hours and 20 minutes, and you know that you can't do the big loop in less than 40 minutes, but you know you can do the little loop in less than 40 minutes, well, then you would go run that little loop to get in, you know, another 4 miles or another whatever it's going to be. So I've never done an endurance event solo like that. I was involved with a 24-hour race with my Team Incognito group a couple of years ago, which was one of the best race experiences I think I've ever had. It was a lot of camaraderie. Our group ran 135 miles in 24 hours, and there were, I think, 8 of us taking turns doing these four. It was a 5-mile loop through the woods, and we crushed it. We came in third place out of, I think, 10 or 12 teams. You know, we all got some prizes. I say I've never won anything in my life, and we came in third place. I never come in first place on anything. But anyway, so the 8-hour event is, you can do it with a partner or you can do it by yourself, and I'm going to do it by myself. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually practice an interval system, hopefully for the whole 8 hours if I can, just to see how many miles I can cover with possibly doing a 5 and 5. And the reason I might try the 5 and 5 is I've heard that Mike over at the Dirt Dogs podcast has done that before. And of course, I'm going to be gearing up for this Keys 50-mile race in May is what my spring goal is. And so I'm going to do some stuff this spring leading up to that. And even though the IC8 comes in February, and I wish it would come more in March, I think I'll still be able to get some miles in. And if I do the intervals, I'm not going to get myself injured with running too many miles when I'm maybe not quite ready for it. So I'm going to try that. That's the IC8, and I think Tom Grant's already signed up for that, trying to get a friend Rodney to do it, and anybody else that's interested, check out that website, and just put in ICY8 in your favorite search engine, and you'll probably come up with something. But it's done by Athletic Equation, which is a company that puts on some of these endurance events, and I really wish I could remember that slogan that they had, because it was really, really cool. Something about, we provide an event for you to live up to your own expectations, not ours, or something like that. Maybe I'll look that up, and because I really thought it was catchy, and I really did like it. Let's see. Okay, well, let's talk about some stories from Richmond. And the Richmond Marathon was on November 13th, 2010. It was a Saturday. The weather was real cold at the start. I didn't run it this year. I ran it last year, and then I've also run it in 2006. Richmond was my 10th marathon. And also my first, and so it's got kind of a special place in my heart. And I've been down there a couple times to spectate. Most notably was in 2005 when my dad ran it. And I had no idea he was training for a marathon. I might have kind of had an idea, but the actual running a marathon was just so far from my grasp. I didn't even pay attention when people talked about marathon training. But anyway, we went down and watched him run it in 2005, and that's kind of what got me inspired for this for endurance running that I've been doing since 2006. I mean, serious endurance running, like marathoning, ultra marathoning, that kind of stuff. Not your regular, little 3 mile jog just for fitness. I mean, I've been doing some serious stuff and, putting down some serious mileage in the past year. But yesterday was a day to spectate, and my wife and I went down there. We really, really did enjoy ourselves. It was cold at the start. It's 30-some degrees, and then, of course, it warmed up, and the sun was out for the runners, and it was close to 70, so which was less than ideal for runners, especially those who are running in the 4.5, 4 hours to 5 hour range. You know, you're finishing at the hottest part of the day, and the sun's out. There were no clouds in the sky, and that was pretty brutal. But I'm going to talk about the thrill of victory and a little bit of the agony of defeat, to copy Jim McKay's from ABC's Wild World of Sports. Several of my friends ran their first marathon, and a couple of these had run before. But most notably were Tamara, Tracy, Craig, and another friend named Tom that I've got, named Tom Hatz. Then actually our police chief right here in Ashland, he ran his first one, Doug Goodman, and a guy that I work with named Matt ran. I also saw a guy named Paul and Scott, who works for the local police department here. He had run before, and actually his wife ran yesterday as well. And I saw him, actually earlier today, I saw him riding his bike, and I noticed that his wife had finished a couple hours ahead of him, so I was giving him the business about that. But anyway, I also saw Stephanie, Nicole, and Rodney ran with his wife Tamara, and Tamara put up a pretty good finishing time. She listens to the podcast, so that's why I'm going to talk about her. I don't think Tracy and Tammy or Susan really listen to it. But she ran a 4:46, and the reason I think that's pretty remarkable is because that's right around what I ran when I ran my first one, which was 4:44:59. And Rodney ran with his wife, and Rodney's the guy that ran the 50-miler back in October down in Atlanta when we went down there for him to do that. And we had a party last night for everybody that ran the first one, and that's how I'm going to get to. I think I also made a note here that a real good cure for a hangover is a 6 mile run. I'll talk about that before the end of the show. But we had a party for all the first time finishers last night, and that was a lot of fun. And Tamara is a lot like Rodney in the fact that she runs with a lot of heart, and it's just really refreshing when you see somebody that runs with heart. And they have emotions, and they run with emotions, and they're emotional at the end, and they're happy about what they accomplished, as opposed to people that cross the finish line or that are then just kind of either disgusted with what their finishing time, which I've been before. I mean, I ran Richmond last year, ran 4:37, and I was really hoping to break 4.5 hours, and had all these expectations on myself. But anyway, she was just a real happy runner, and we saw her cross the finish line. Matter of fact, what we did is we got down. I say it was really cold when we got down, and we didn't actually get down until 10 o'clock down in Richmond, because we had to take my daughter to a little birthday party thing. But we saw a lot of folks at around the 14-mile mark, and I was at a coffee shop. We had a DJ out there. Oh, by the way, the Richmond Marathon is considered Richmond the country's friendliest marathon, and it's very popular. The Runner's World magazine does they feature it as part of the Runner's World Challenge. And it really is a good event. It brings out a lot of people, and the course is great. It crosses the James River twice. It's very scenic. It starts in downtown, finishes in downtown. And the reason I like it is because as a spectator, I liked it as a runner, but as a spectator, you can get around the course a little bit. And that's what we were able to do. So we saw a lot of our friends at the 14-mile mark. But unfortunately, the text messaging system did not work on the from the website. So we had signed up to follow, I think, 12 or 13 runners, and you're supposed to get text messages when, you know, they cross the chip mat to different places. And it's never worked in the past. We signed up for it before, and it never worked. You get everything, you know, 2 hours or 6 hours later. Matter of fact, at the party, I kept getting text messages, and I was joking that such and such just finished and this and that. But apparently the email feature was working. So if we had an iPhone or something other than the I've got an old school cell phone, Verizon cell phone, low resolution screen on it, but I tell you, it works and it's reliable and it fits in my pocket. I don't have to clip it to my belt and have this ridiculous size, huge, stupid looking computer on my belt that I can go in my pocket. No one ever knows I have a phone. Anyway, that didn't work, but we got down there and saw a lot of these folks around the 14-mile mark. But then there was a dilemma because we had a friend who listens to the podcast from my team Incognito, and that's Crash Kreider. He was going for his Boston qualifying time of 3 hours 20 minutes, and I knew we weren't going to see him at the 14-mile mark because we didn't get down there in time. So we were going to try to dart from the 14-mile mark, grab some lunch, and get to the finish so we could see him qualify and congratulate him, do this and that, eat, and then wait for all our friends who are going to be finishing in the 4.5 to 5 hour range and watch them come in, and everything was supposed to work like clockwork. Well, so after we saw all of our friends come through around the 14-mile mark, we got in the car and we dashed down because I knew it was going to be hard to find a place to park. So that was where my anxiety was getting a place to park and getting to the finish in time to see Crash cross the finish line and qualify, because he was pretty determined to make it. So we finally found a place to park, and so we had about four or five blocks to walk to get to 3rd Street, which was the last turn before the race went down Cary, and it does finish downhill. If it goes down Cary Street into an area called James Center, where the finish line is. So, we get up there just in time, but what we do, instead of going to the finish line, we go up the course a little bit, because that's where the place where we parked, you know, walking towards the finish line, put us up on 3rd Street, which was before the last turn. And we had some minutes to spare, and so I was thinking, well, you know, if he hasn't come through yet, then we're going to see him. So we just kind of kept walking. We didn't see him, so we kept walking up the course and, you know, backwards up the course, and eventually ran into, or called John King, who's part of Team Incognito, asking him if he had seen him yet. He said he hadn't, so I figured we were in the right spot. And then we ran into Matt from Team Incognito and then his fiancée, Dana. So there were five of us there. It was awesome that we all got together, because we did not have that plan to get together. But my plan all along was to hightail it down to the finish to see Crash qualify, because, you don't get that opportunity too often when a friend of yours is going for the Super Bowl of marathons, and you kind of want to be there as a part of it. And I did have some information that he was down there by himself, that his family had not been able to make it. So we were going to try to be there, and I thought it was worth making the sacrifice. But anyway, minutes kept ticking by, and then his qualifying time ticked by, but I think we were probably like a 5-minute run to the finish or less, depending on your pace. So, you know, we're trying to figure out, okay, would he come by? And then, okay, he hasn't made it. And then, and I had already gotten a text, belatedly, that his half marathon time was 1:38. Now that's I think that's a 3:16 finishing time if the pace remains the same, all things being consistent, which would have qualified him because he's 40 years old. So he was definitely on track. Well, apparently he suffered an injury around mile 21, and that's why we never saw him coming down third. Or at this point, we had made our way up to Gray Street, and that's why we never saw him. And it was just, you know, we were all just looking at each other, just, you know, how much of a shame that was, because we all knew that he had just totally kicked ass during training and was really ready for it. We have a message board that we use, and there'd been a lot of bantering back and forth on that. And, you know, he just had big plans. And apparently what happened was Dana called him. And, you know, it was kind of funny that after we knew he wasn't going to qualify, we were kind of curious to know, is he just going to back off and finish the race, or is he going to pack it up and go home? And I thought about calling his cell phone, but then I kind of made the joke that, well, you know, I don't want to call a cell phone, because if he's not with his cell phone, I don't want him to think that we thought he gave up. So anyway, at some point, a few minutes after that, Dana either got a call from him or she called him or something, and he had decided to DNF at that point. He had torn his calf muscle. Something had happened where he had to get off the course. He couldn't finish. And the irony of that is that 2006 was Todd's first marathon. Also, we ran the same course the same day, and we actually trained together. And of course, he's a lot faster than I am, but we would still do the long runs together. And he had the same similar injury back then. I think he tore his calf muscle, and how he finished that day, I will not know. I think he literally dragged his leg behind him. But anyway, the BQ was not to happen for Todd at the Richmond Marathon on November 13th, and I sent him a text message, just kind of a, you know, say I'm sorry about for your effort and all that. I hadn't heard back from him yet, but maybe after a few days he'll reach out. And I feel really bad for him, because I know his training was, you know, he really put it out there and was really trying. So hopefully his injury will not set him back so much, and maybe he can find one. If he's not injured so bad, maybe he can find a marathon this winter that he can give it another try. We'll have to see. So, Todd, my heart goes out to you, man. Hopefully you'll get it the next time. And we were all down there watching for you, brother. I mean, it was just remarkable how several of us found each other, all because we wanted to come down there and support you. So hopefully you'll get it next time, man. Appreciate it. All right. So that was kind of a defeat story from Richmond. The victory stories are there that there are several people out there did finish their first marathon, and hopefully, you know, they'll want to run others, and they got some feeling of reward and feeling of accomplishment from becoming a marathoner. Because once you become a marathoner, you're one forever. You don't have to renew it. You don't have to recertify. You know, you're always you can cross that off your bucket list. And I did want to mention one thing. Tom, my friend Tom Grant, who listens to the show and I've done lots of races with, he was a 4:15 pacer. And I don't know how he did this, but he did not use a device that had the totally elapsed time. He just used, I think, the virtual partner on the Garmin gizmo that he's got. I think he's got one of the late model ones that looks more like a wristwatch. And he managed to run a 4:14:02 overall without even knowing what his elapsed time was overall, just by going with the virtual partner. And I thought that was pretty cool. So anyway, well done, Tom. Tom's got, I think he said, I don't even know how many marathons you got now, Tom, like 14 or 15. But he is, Tom's a Boston qualifier. He ran it last year. And Tom said Richmond is the only course that he's run three times. So he's kind of like me. He likes to do a different marathon almost with each one. And Tom's done them all over the country. He's done them in Buffalo, Alabama, Maryland, Virginia, North Carolina. He's pretty much done them. Massachusetts. He's done lots of them. So we had this party last night, and yeah, that was a hell of a party. I definitely had quite a bit, and got up early and went to Mass, and came home and thought, you know what, best cure for hangover, 6 mile run. So I headed out there, took Blue with me, and knocked out 6 miles to give me 21 for the week, which is big, because I haven't had that type of mileage in a while. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to establish a real good 20 to 25 miles a week base. And I think at that point I will be ready to start my ultra training a lot heavier in late December, early January. What I did is I printed out a schedule that I'm going to use. And I went to the Santa Clarita Runners Club in California, their website. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes too. I'll make a note. And printed off an ultra schedule. Right, what you do is you can put in the date of your race and how long it is, and then they'll print out a suggested schedule for you to follow, you know, complete with the weeks in there, so you don't have to make up your own chart. And you can kind of do the best you can with that. What happened to me is I tried to do it for the 50 miler last when I ran it in June, but some of those I could not finish a 10 miler after a 20 mile. Like they want to do double long run sandwiches, what some people call it a Big Mac, and you know, you do double long runs. You do a 20 miler on a Saturday and followed up with a 10 mile recovery run on Sunday, sandwiched by rest days on Friday and Monday. And there were sometimes I just couldn't. I could maybe get 6 miles in the next day. So I'm going to try it again. I'm trying to get a little more serious this time and not stay up late the night before and take those long runs for granted. I've talked about that in old shows, how I got to a point where I was actually taking the 20-mile training run for granted because it was easy. Running 20 miles was becoming easy because I was running so many marathons getting ready for that ultra. Doing a 20-mile training run was just not that hard. And staying up late, watching TV, carrying on, or going out to dinner parties or whatever, and then, you know, getting up the next day and knocking out that 20. And anyway, that's kind of rambling on a whole different subject. But anyway, if you want the true cure for a hangover, 6-mile run with your dog. That worked for me, and I felt pretty good ever since I got back from that and took a shower. All right, that's about it, I think, for this week. I've got some emails to hit on, and especially one from Mandy from ultrasformortals.com, which is an informational website with lots of information about ultra running. And I'm going to have her on the show in another couple weeks. And we're going to talk about the Keys 100, of which I want to do the 50 mile or so. Anyway, let's get to the email bag section of the show and see who checked in this week. All right, we got some good emails this week. First one, Kevin checked in from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And he wanted copies of the blister photos from a 50 miler for his daughter, he said. So I forwarded those on to him. And Kevin, I guess you looked at those. I didn't hear back from you, so hopefully you got them. Yeah, those are pretty bad, and I'll throw that out again to anybody who's interested in the blister photos. If you're interested in seeing what happens when you mix friction, heat, and moisture over the course of 12-plus hours, and you want to see what happens, what kind of injuries you can get that'll put you out for 2 weeks, email me at ashlanddave@gmail.com. And I'll send those on to you. I appreciate the email, Kevin. Kevin, he ran the Ragnar Relay from Chattanooga to Nashville, which was 195.5 miles, and his team did it in 28 hours and 17 minutes, which was good enough for 44th overall out of 154 teams. And Kevin, appreciate your race report. It's very good, very detailed, and thank you very much for sending in the email. Good to hear from you. Also heard from Sandra out of Michigan, which happens to be same area that Dirt Dog hails from. Apparently, they might actually be hooking up for a run at some point. Sandra recently did a 50-miler. She also found the Santa Clarita's website to be pretty helpful for her when she did her 50-mile training run, 50-mile training ultra. When she was training for her 50-mile ultra, and she also tried to do most of the runs, like I had explained earlier. It's very hard to keep that up for that training program. But I'm going to try to get a little more serious about it this time around, Sandra. And I've actually hit it off pretty good with Sandra. We've actually emailed back and forth quite a bit, and she's definitely bouncing back from a little part of plantar fasciitis that she had. She's recovering, treating that, recovering it, and she's been very complimentary on the podcast. And Sandra, I just wanted to thank you very much for that. I do enjoy the emails, as always. I really do like to hear from listeners, and let's keep the conversation going. It's good to hear from you. Appreciate you taking the time to send out those emails. Dirt Dog checked in. He's already interviewed Mandy from the ultrasformortals.com. Mandy Miller, she's a very accomplished runner. Make sure you check that out on his website, just on his podcast. Just search Dirt Dog, DIRTDAWG. I'm sure his podcast will come up. I think it's over on the Podbean website also. They talked about a lot of different things. She's an accomplished ultra runner and triathlete. But I'm going to be, when I talk with Mandy in a few weeks on the show, I'm going to be talking mainly about the Keys 100, which also has a 50-mile option that I'm interested in. And Mandy's either been in, has either run or in placed or otherwise somehow been involved in each of the Keys Ultra races since its inception, I think 4 years ago. And she's personal friends with the race director, Bob Becker. So that's going to be a very good conversation with her. And I think I'm going to try to do it through the Talk Shoe website, where you know, basically you talk through a link and it records it, and then you can edit that and put it in a podcast. So I'm going to try that once I get a little more familiar with it. It's the same thing that the Runner's Roundtable thing uses. And Dirt Dog is a little bit more versed in that than I am, so he's going to give him some tips. So Dirt Dog, appreciate it. Good to hear from you. I also heard from Corey. He checked in, and he has said that the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast is his favorite podcast, and I appreciate that a lot, Corey. He said he understands how it's time-consuming to put it together, but he, for one, definitely appreciates it. And Corey, that's the whole reason I do it, and it's nice for you to say that, because sometimes it does become time-consuming. And I'll give you an example. This afternoon, when I'm putting the show together in different pieces, and it's hard to produce the show when there's people in the house. So I'm actually right now sitting in my garage with a digital recorder, going over the email section of the show, so I don't disturb anybody in the house. We got football on today, and lots of different things going on. So yeah, sometimes I got to put it together in pieces. But I appreciate you recognizing that, and as always, I do appreciate you listening to the show. It's good to hear from you. I heard from Chris from the Atlanta area down in Georgia, and kind of coincidental, Chris ran the 50K North Face Endurance Challenge 50K race same day that we were down there supporting Rodney when he did the 50-miler. He's a new listener, and he said he's very familiar with the Pine Mountain area because he's hiked it or run that area many times. He's been up there with his wife and his three boys, and he's got a pretty cool blog called Running After Daylight, which I'll put in the show notes at ashlanddave.podbean.com, so make sure you check that out. He busted his hand really bad at during the 50K when he took a fall around mile 4, and he almost got pulled out of the race. Apparently he heard, I guess he was at one of the aid stations, and Chris, I think I remember reading this from your race report, which is on your website, when he got pulled to the side or something, one of the aid stations, and he could hear some of the radio traffic between the aid station managers talking about him on the radio. And I can attest to that, because when I was at, you know, I spent a lot of time at the aid stations waiting on the runner that I was supporting. And there was a lot of good communication between the aid station managers about injuries and people to look for, just to keep an eye on, not to be, you know, nasty and try to pull them out of the race or anything, but just somebody to monitor them in case they needed some care when they came in. And I really thought the North Face folks did a good job with that. But it was good to hear from Chris. Apparently he's going to have surgery on his hand. That's how bad his injury was. And that's interesting, because he continued to run another 28 miles with a severely injured hand. And anyway, his full race report is at his site, Running After Daylight. I don't know what the extension is on that, but I'm going to put a link at ashlanddave.podbean.com. And make sure you check it out, because it's very detailed, and it's a very good running blog overall. And it was really good to hear from you, Chris, and I appreciate you sharing that. And I guess I'm wondering if you're going to run the Pine Mountain 40. I think that's either November this month or next month. I've heard that that's a pretty good race down there. So hope you take care. Hope your surgery goes okay. And keep me posted on how things go. Okay, and the last lesson I heard from this over the last 2 weeks since the last show was Mandy. And I've mentioned her several times. She's got the website ultrasformortals.com. And we went back and forth on several emails. I'm really looking forward to interviewing her and talking more about the ultra race down in Florida. I was very, very flattered that she said that she was a new listener to the show, because she's a very accomplished runner from my perspective. And I'll save the list of her accomplishments for when I interview her. But like I said, I'm very flattered that she's listening to the show. Mandy, thank you so much for all the information you've passed on so far. Mandy lives down in Florida. She understands how to deal with the heat and survive the tropical heat. And she's very knowledgeable of all the details having to do with the ultra that goes from Key Largo to Key West, which is the 100 miles along the roads and the bridges that hook up all the islands down there. And so I'm very excited to announce that I'll be talking with her, and we'll be getting some good details about the race and how things go with the heat and crewing. And I'm still formulating my questions. So, Mandy, I look forward to talking to you about that. I hope you keep listening to the show. And make sure you check out her website at ultrasformortals.com. I put a link in the show notes at ashlanddave.podbean.com. Also, for that, and the best thing about that site is that it's very down to earth. And it's, you know, you're talking about when someone who's an accomplished runner, and they want to share a lot of their knowledge in a very low-key way where it's not condescending or preaching. I mean, this is definitely that kind of site. Check that. It's got some articles, you know, lots of her thoughts. It's got some stuff from other people, and it's growing. And I think there's a chance for that site to be a big hub for sharing of information about ultra running. So I'm excited about that, and I encourage you to check that out if you have any interest in running an ultra marathon, which is anything past the 26.2 distance. There's several articles on there on different things to think about as you pick a race, and so I encourage you to check that out. So that's pretty much it for this week. I really want to thank everybody for listening to the show, as always. I've been putting out this podcast now for a couple of years, and I've tried to stay consistent. It's hard to put one out every week. I've said that before, so I'm kind of on the every 2-week format, so you can pretty much rely on that from here on until, I guess, until further notice. And one thing that I forgot to talk about earlier when I was talking about my friend Tammy that just finished the Richmond Marathon, she ran the Marine Corps Marathon less than 2 weeks ago. So she's actually eligible for Marathon Maniac status. But there's one small problem with that, is that when she ran the Marine Corps Marathon, we're trying to track her, she didn't run under her own name. What happened was the guy that went up, or apparently went up and picked up her bib, some guy she works with, I think, switched the packets by accident. So she didn't even realize that. So she actually ran and finished the race under his name, and he ran, and I think he finished under her name. And I don't know if the Marathon Maniacs will accept that, because, you know, they'll check on your accomplishments to make sure that you're eligible. And it'd be a real shame if she, I don't know if that's something she's really interested in doing. I don't think she really runs for that reason, but just in case she does, I mean, she might have to argue her point to the people over at Marathon Maniacs. I thought that'd be kind of funny to add at the end. I hope that she's able to get it worked out. It was really not her fault. She didn't, you know, buy a bib online or anything like that. It was just a mistake where the two bibs were mistakenly switched in the bags. And that can happen. A couple of years ago, I was running the Outer Banks Half Marathon down in North Carolina. And I was running with my friend Ashlyn Bob, and we went down there. My brother was picking up our packets for us because we were getting down there too late on Friday to get the you know, go by the expo and get everything. So he got our stuff for us. And when we met with him on race morning to get the packets, he had them mixed up. And even though our names were on them, so it was kind of weird. Even when names are on them, they can get mixed up. And I don't think the Marine Corps Marathon had the names on them. So anyway, hopefully that'll work out for Tammy. And she can get in the Maniacs if that's what she's interested in. I'm number 1319, Marathon Maniacs. I think I have to submit my money again for renewed membership. I think it's only $10 a year, which is really not much to get on the website. And there's lots of sharing of information on that. Anyway, that's a whole different Marathon Maniacs, and all that is a whole different subject for another podcast in the future if I ever get around to wanting to talk about that. Okay, well, that's it for this week, and I hope you join me in 2 weeks for the next podcast. And this is Ashlyn Dave, and I'm running in the center of the universe, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running. Y'all have a good week.